fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue today to talk about Advent theme that inspired me this past Sunday, listening to the reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, where St. Peter is talking about the final judgment and the return of the Lord. The church gives us these kinds of passages, both from the Old Testament, New Testament, the teaching of Jesus, who spoke a lot about the final judgment. He spoke a lot about heaven and hell. And it was really on the Lord's radar. And he wants it on the radar of all his disciples, that it's clear to us who we are, why we're here, where we're going, so that we live in a way that's consistent to the call that we have and who we are as sons and daughters of God. And so we can be living a countercultural lifestyle, especially now in a world that seems to be in complete retreat from God, running away from God. And a counterculture has emerged. We're living really in a post-Christian culture. A culture is the way of life of a people. It's informed by certain values that people honor and they want to fight for and they want to see present throughout the culture. We used to have a very distinct culture, not a perfect culture, not a culture that was the church, but it was a culture that respected the church and the things that the church was communicating. It was a culture that respected God, basically, had a sense of God, had a sense that God existed, that things like the Ten Commandments mattered, and how people lived and living in accord with those commandments mattered, and that if you lived that way in a virtuous way, you were honored, you were considered someone to imitate. We said yes to that kind of lifestyle, and we encouraged it. We encouraged it in how we raised our kids and our families. We encouraged it in what the schools valued and what the schools used to hold up to children, how we affirmed them. All of that stuff mattered, but that's going away. In some parts of the world, in Europe and others, it's almost completely gone away. But we're seeing it go away in our own culture. And what's emerged is a totally different narrative or story. God's story, the narrative of creation, that God exists, that God is the creator, that he's created the heavens and the earth, that he himself is the one who got it all started. And he got it all started for a purpose. And he made human beings as the crown of this amazing creation. And that human beings have fallen, and they've fallen away from God's purpose and plan. We inhabit a world that's at war with God and will be until Jesus Christ returns again. That there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is really truly led by an evil spirit, Satan himself, the devil, who's got all kinds of other evil spirits that are at war against God, and particularly at war against God's image on the earth, men and women, eternal creatures, those who bear the image of God. And his total purpose is to get us enslaved and to turn away from God's purpose so that we dishonor God, that he can cause us to join with him in his rebellion against God, so that we would, I guess, humiliate God or something, right? To destroy what God wants to create. Jesus said the devil is a liar. He's a murderer. Now remember, the wisest, most loving, most perfect person who ever walked the face of the earth is Jesus Christ. And he said it very clearly that the devil exists and that the devil is a murderer and a liar. He seeks to destroy. And what he wants to destroy are those who bear the image of God. Human beings are his enemy to the end. And he wants to create a way of life, a culture that's inconsistent with God and that contains values that are absolutely contradictory to God and the kingdom of God. And so what's emerging in our culture is a way of life that is radically inconsistent with God. People seem to think that there's somehow a third way. You know, we don't want to hold up religious values too much. And of course, we don't want to be bad people. So because we're good people anyway, we can create our own way. And our own way, this third way, is going to be a good way. And we can see where that's leading us right now. We can just go through the kind of madness that's emerging in our culture, the kind of things that we're affirming and that whole societies are affirming and laws are getting behind now. The destruction of family, euthanasia now, not only abortion, but the genetic engineering that's happening, the craziness of some of it that's happening. All of that is the result of human beings being wise in their own eyes and saying, we're going to live a pattern of life that we want to live. And we're going to insist that people come with us, and we're going to reward people who think like us and act like us, and people who don't, we are going to put them under our heel. We're going to marginalize them. We're going to get them out of there because we're going to keep reaffirming who we are. We're going to keep valuing what we want to value because we want our lifestyle and the choices we're making to ascend and to be the one that we want everyone to imitate. And anything that contradicts what we want, we're going to push to the margins. And that's why the church, Christianity, Judaism, and any kind of authentic revelation of God's pattern of life is getting marginalized. And friends, there is no third way, neutral way. You're either in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the enemy. Now, we put our toes sometimes in the kingdom we shouldn't. We fall, we say yes, but bottom line is there's only two kingdoms to be in. And when Jesus comes again, what's going to be revealed is what kingdom we're in. And the Bible's so full of exhortations to help us understand the patterns of life that represent the kingdoms. I ended yesterday with just two verses from chapter 5 of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which kind of parallels the call that Peter gave when he said, look, knowing the judgment is coming and the basis on which that judgment is going to happen, how should we then live, is the question that Paul raises. And he exhorts us, of course, to imitate the Christ life with everything that we have. So verse 3 and following now in chapter 5 of Ephesians, but immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is fitting among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor silly talk, nor levity, which are not fitting, but instead let there be thanksgiving. You know, this way of living today gets mocked. It gets laughed at by the cultural elite, those who seem to be pulling the levers of the culture. Verse 5, be sure of this. This is what the church lives with now. This is a conscious understanding of what the pattern of life that God's after and how God's going to deal with it. Verse 5, be sure of this, that no immoral or impure man or woman or one who is covetous, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's a passage that's worth committing to memory. If we live in the kind of immorality that Paul's talking about, impurity and covetousness, and we're filthy and full of things that radically oppose the beauty, the goodness, and the truth of what God has made us for, Paul says this, and I'm going to read it again. Be sure of this. Let there be no question. Be sure that this is what's going to happen, that no immoral or impure man or woman or one who is covetous, that is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And in the end, when he comes again, the point of Advent is to remind us, in the end, there will be the final establishing of the kingdom of God. And after that, there will be nothing but the kingdom of God. That's it. To enter the kingdom of God, you have to enter by faith, through baptism, through repenting of your sins, and living the pattern of life that the Holy Spirit calls us to, and as St. Peter said, in holiness and godliness. So Paul lays out here what's consistent with it, what's not consistent with it. Let no one deceive you with empty words. What would empty words be? No, just live the way you want to live. Live and let live. In the end, if there is God and there is heaven, everybody's going there. Just live whatever way you want. You be your own divine. You be your own master. You be your own God. Be radically autonomous and radically independent and follow us in this lifestyle. Acquire as much wealth and money and power as you want. Live sexually the way you want to live. Define marriage and family and define the human person any way you want to. Deal with fragile human life the way you want to. Sure, abort your child or euthanize your parents. Do whatever you want to do. Why? Because you're the master of your own destiny. That's the kind of emptiness, the futility of a darkened mind that serves up a culture of death that St. Paul's warning us against. He said, let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. When we do these things, we experience and will experience God's judgment. That's what's happening in the world today. That's what's happening. I'm going to mention his name again. That's what's happening to Harvey Weinstein. It's God's mercy, which expresses itself in judgment that says, Harvey, your lifestyle is perverted, it's immoral, it's a lie, and it's offensive to God. Even though the world was at your feet, even though people came to you and wined you and dined you and included you on the inner circle, you see how fast it all goes away, because it's all a sham, it's all self-serving, it's all hypocrisy, it's a joke. It's the life of empty futility, is what the Bible calls it. But God's judgment is coming upon you because you need to see that the first one who's being offended, the one who's being offended the most, is God himself. Psalm 50, Psalm 51, is it? Against you, you alone have I sinned, O God. I mean, he certainly has sinned against people and offended them. He needs to take responsibility for that and repent to them and make things right. But the great offense is offense against God, ignoring God, acting against God's will, ignoring the blood of the Jewish Messiah, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on a cross. Years ago, I had an incredible experience of God with a couple of guys who one today is a bishop, another one's a priest, where we were praying and the Holy Spirit came on us and we began to weep and weep and weep. And I felt deep in my guts a word from the Father. And he said, a time of judgment, I was in my 20s, a time of great judgment is coming on the world in my lifetime. No longer will the world make fool of the precious sacrifice of Jesus Christ on a cross, God's offer of his only Son to the world for the sake of their salvation. And the world mocks it, the world ignores it, and people in the church who are once in the church drift away from it because we want to be attached to the world and the things of the world. And we've been seduced to lie. And understand this, when you start drifting away from the place the devil wants to take you, and he'll give you the kingdoms of the world, just like he said to Jesus, he'd give him the kingdoms of the world. He'll do the same thing for you if you say yes to him. He told Jesus he'd give him all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus would bow down and worship him. And that's where the devil's going to take you. He's going to take you to the place where you mock God, where you reject God, and you bow down as a slave and worship him. That's where the love of money, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of, that's where it all goes. You think you're just buying and receiving what's good, what's fun, what makes you famous and powerful and fills your life with pleasure and recognition. But instead, what it does, it makes you a slave. Because the devil's going to destroy you. He's not your friend. You might have made a Faustian deal with him, even like some have in history, but it's not going to end good for you. It's not going to end well. So Paul exhorts, he said, the wrath of God comes on those who disobey God. In verse 7, he said, therefore, don't associate with them, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good, all that is right and true, and try to learn what is pleasing to Jesus. To the Lord. Here's a really simple principle to discern what you should do every day in your life. If questions come up about what you should do, ask this question: does it please the Lord? And if it doesn't, run from it. If it does, say yes to it. Friend, you were made for him. Let's live for him. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.